Hello and welcome to the first ever release of Sploitcast. This project has been brewing for quite some time and we're all pretty excited that it's finally getting off its feet. I feel I should give a small introduction about what exactly Sploitcast is and what we hope to accomplish. First of all, Sploitcast is a security-based podcast. We're not limiting ourselves to topics regarding only security, but for the most part we will discuss topics that involve new exploits and vulnerabilities, security and technology news, and hopefully host a few interviews with some familiar names in the industry. We think it would be nice if we could build a small community of people who are interested in researching, exploring, and just chatting about the subjects that we, the crew at Sploitcast, are passionate about, which is hacking in the true form of the word. Now, when I use the term hacking, I'm not referring to malicious script kiddies or the bastardized Hollywood version of the word, but the original meaning of the word, to make something perform a function that it was not originally designed to do. So with that in mind, Sploitcast is not the show to listen to if you're simply interested in breaking into your neighbor's Wi-Fi or owning your brother's box. But if you consider yourself a geek or a security enthusiast, we hope you enjoy the show. The main topic for discussion on this episode of Sploitcast is the new vulnerability that was discovered in the majority of the Microsoft Windows operating systems recently. This, of course, being the infamous Windows Metafile exploit, more commonly known as simply the WMF exploit. It may be safe to assume that everyone listening to this podcast has already heard of the WMF exploit, and probably knows what it is. But for the listeners who may not know what it is or how it works, we'd like to give a small overview of the vulnerability. According to CERT, the U.S. Computer Emergency Readiness Team, the vulnerability exists because of two main elements, the first being the Windows Graphic Display Interface, also known as the Windows GDI. The Windows GDI uses particular functions to draw images. The other element is the Windows Metafile Format. WMF files are images. The interesting thing about WMF files is that they can contain GDI function calls in order to draw lines, text, or curves. To put this in a more basic sense, a WMF image can contain code that is built into Windows functions in order to create the image. The problem with this file type is the fact that an attacker knows when a WMF image is viewed in Windows that certain function calls will be executed. So the attacker can potentially execute what is commonly known as arbitrary code. In other words, the attacker can make Windows perform actions unrelated to viewing an image. So if an attacker can trick a user into viewing a specifically crafted image, then the user can be exploited. Now, tricking a user into viewing an image is much easier than it sounds, particularly if you are on the same network as the user, because you can easily perform man-in-the-middle attacks or DNS poisoning to force a user to view the image through a web browser if that user is surfing the net. There are other methods of performing this attack, which we will get into later. To be a bit more technical, the particular attack vectors that are being used in much of the public exploit code use the Windows Picture and Fax Viewer in combination with the setabort proc GDI function call, which is a very small GDI function call that allows a print job to be canceled. Now, the particular application that makes this vulnerability so nasty is Internet Explorer. You see, IE can be instructed to launch the Windows Picture and Fax Viewer by a website. That means just by simply viewing a website with the malicious WMF file, a computer can easily be exploited. Now, I gotta be honest, when I first heard about this was on BugTrack, when it popped in my email box. Now, I completely breezed over it because at first it didn't. I really didn't read it closely, and I have a hard time reading every BugTrack email that comes into my email box. But as soon as it started popping up to the top of the list every 5 minutes, over the course of the next couple of hours, it became obvious that it was a serious issue. But what I want to know is what Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates were thinking when they heard about this. Because I can just picture Steve Ballmer sitting in his office saying, "God damn, Eric Schmidt, if Google hadn't have stolen all of our employees, then this wouldn't have been an issue." That's what I think. That's probably, I wouldn't quote me as an exact transcript, but I can imagine it went something like that. But Rob, you work for CERT. What did you guys do when you initially heard about this?
Well, our initial reaction was minor because we thought it was one of the previous exploits that had come out, and we were thinking that since BugTracks, this guy was saying, hey, is this an exploit? We were just saying, this is probably the old one, don't worry about it. But we always take a extra precautionary step. We investigate everything that goes through just in case it's something that is more than just minor. So we put some of our computer recon techs on it, and they got into the code, tested it out, and came back with, hey, this is pretty deep. You can do a lot of shit with this.
This was on 0 day when you guys were testing it out?
Correct. We do everything 0 day.
Okay, great. Yeah, because I know recently, and we'll talk about this later, it was built into Metasploit, which makes it easy for anybody to download and do this. But on 0 day, you guys had to do quite a bit of configuration to get this to work. Is that correct?
Right. We actually had quite a few programmers and coders different forensic analysis people on it rapidly. It was during the day, so we had all those people at our hand. Normally, if it's during the night, we don't have that. But we were lucky, and the 0 day came out right where everybody was at work.
It was in the morning, I believe, wasn't it?
Right,
I don't remember exactly.
It was early morning, but everybody was coming into work. So right. We had all of our techs right on it, and although we initially assessed it as minor, it became much more.
Now, I know you had created a video that demonstrated this. Well, it wasn't necessarily you, but it was somebody that worked on the team. To be honest, I didn't know if that was even legitimate to be, you know, released, but I assume it is. And how long was it on 0 day before that actually came out? Because that was one of the first videos.
We had it out within a couple hours.
Right. Yeah, that's what I thought. What about you, John? What did you think when this first all came together?
Well, I actually didn't get into it because I don't get BugTrack like
all
you
right.
do. I just happened to read it on Dig News, and I had a lot of digs. So read the description on it, get a little bit of details on it. I'm like, oh crap, Windows is at it again, you know? And you know, it's kind of sad because for me, I'm not going to say Windows is an incredible operating system, but the fact is, and no one can deny it, it's got the market share.
Well,
and
absolutely.
It's when something bad happens to Microsoft, it affects all of us in some shape, way, or form.
The thing that bugs me so much, and what I want to know is how this is going to impact Microsoft as far as the way the security industry looks at them. Because earlier last year, they had gone to great lengths. I mean, there were Slashdot stories about some of the CEOs talking about what great steps they're going to take to make their operating system more secure. I mean, these past year and a half has been more impact. They've put more influence on security than I think ever before. And with Longhorn coming out, and people are very skeptical of that, this can't look good at all. You know, I mean, this is a serious exploit. It's being called by many people like one of the worst ever.
The thing that amazes me about it is it affects every Windows operating system.
Right.
That is scary. I mean, anytime you have an exploit that affects the entire realm of Windows, no matter what system you're on, that's a major, major, major issue.
And
so,
they've even said it could go back. I mean, earlier when it first came out, people were saying it's IMI and on, but they've said it actually dates back to 98 and even 3.1. So that's pretty wild, especially since I read somewhere that Microsoft said they were not going to work on a patch for 98 and older systems. So that kind of screws a lot of people.
And there are a lot of people that are still running Windows 98.
As a corporate
software.
I used to be a gamer, and 98 was like the best operating system for games for quite a while when they were going through their terrible years before they got XP really stable. But that aside, I mean, I know there are a lot of people, like you said, in corporate environments, there's still a lot of people using it. So the fact that it's a remote exploit, and somebody doesn't have to be on the network, they can remotely exploit this vulnerability. It makes it very dangerous for corporations and anybody who's running Windows. Particularly, it seems to me, would be servers that are hosting websites or servers online. However, it does require, and Rob, you're going to have to back me up on this. I'm not positive. It does require that a user is active on the machine. Is that correct?
Pretty much. There are ways to force an open, but it increases the hack, if you will, tenfold. But yes, 9 times out of 10, you have to have a user open or go to or view a WMF file.
Right. I know earlier this week I was speaking with Iron Geek, who, for those of you who don't know, Iron Geek has a website that is based on security, and he has security videos that are incredibly informative. I would highly recommend checking it out at irongeek.com. I was talking to him right after he put out his video that demonstrates this attack, and this is after it was built into Metasploit. He used Metasploit for this, and he demonstrated it with assuming the user is on the target computer. And so I was able to replicate it in my environment, but I had not been able to replicate it without a user being on the machine that you're exploiting. Now I know the thing that's wild about this is that it's gotten so much press. It's got to be one of the most highly covered exploits in security history, I think. You know, the last time I heard something get this much news was the Black Hat Security Conference where the Cisco flaw was found last year.
And then there was the Sasserworm.
But this is just huge. Steve Gibson had covered it. Have either of you heard the podcast, the Security Now podcast?
Yep. He actually followed up with the creator of the patch.
I believe it's Ilfak Gilvanov, but Ilfak, I could be pronouncing that wrong.
He followed up with him on another Security Now. The first one was 20, and I think the follow-up was 21.
Okay. Yeah, that actually is a great podcast to check out. Steve Gibson's explanation and discussion about this exploit is very good. And for those of you who want more information, this is a very serious issue. And we don't mean to be beating a dead horse into the ground here with this, but since it's so huge and so important, that's why we want to talk about it. Now, the thing that makes this particularly dangerous, it is particularly dangerous without this, but ever since it was built into Metasploit, it instantly becomes a script kiddie target. Now, once again, for anybody listening that doesn't know what Metasploit is, Metasploit is a framework for downloading and installing modules. Each module contains code that exploits a different vulnerability in a wide array of operating systems and server software and just regular software as well. Now, the particular thing about Metasploit that makes it a great framework for penetration testers is the fact that you can write code, exploit code, and then use all of the existing Metasploit payloads. Now, a payload is basically what happens after you exploit a system. So with Metasploit, it contains a wide array of payloads. For example, returning a VNC session or returning a reverse staged shell, which would mean that you could access the root shell on the target machine. As soon as this was built into Metasploit, once again, it was all over BugTrack. And I think people, right, Microsoft in particular, really stepped up the game and said, okay, now we really are in some shit. You know what I mean? Because now we really got to fix this.
Yeah.
But have you gotten the chance to play around with the Metasploit exploit, Rob?
I actually haven't. I've been a little bit too busy dealing with it at work just to find all to check and see if the patch that came out is good and to push it to all our computers and get everything set up. I really haven't had the chance to do it at home too much to test it out on local LAN. But a thing I wanted to point out is a lot of these forums, people are starting to see people adding like their little icons or avatars as WMF files. So you might want to watch out for that also.
aren't they converted to like JPEG? Is that true?
You can. The thing about a WMF file is you can rename it as a JPEG or a GIF or any other type of file, and it will still be recognized by Windows as a WMF file. So Windows will still run all of the functions that are contained in the WMF file. Is that correct, Rob?
Correct.
Okay.
Cool.
And I know there actually are several worms and Trojans that have taken advantage of that. And I've heard there's a couple floating around MSN Messenger where Rob, have you seen it? Do you know how it works? I haven't seen a live example of this worm, and I don't exactly know what the worm does, but I know it takes advantage of the fact that you can rename a WMF file to something else and still have it exploit a system.
Right. Well, so you have the WMF exploit that's out right now, or supposedly patched. You have all these worms and Trojans that are in the wild right now that aren't patched or are. And with this WMF exploit, it can actually send any number of Trojans or exploit or anything. It'll run anything. So you got a Trojan that you get infected, right? Then it checks all your MSN Messenger people and sends them a message with a little icon that doesn't show up for some reason, but they still view it, right?
Okay. Because
it pops up on the screen automatically.
Right.
Then it executes that exploit through WMF and gives them the Trojan.
See, that's where it hurts in a network community.
Oh, yeah.
And in a corporate community. And it can work with MSN, it can work with AIM. The worst part is it works with email. And for me, in a corporate environment,
yes,
I do not. If someone gets an email from me and I send it to, let's say, all the programmers, they're most likely going to open that file, and it's going to say, you know, it could easily if I know Harrison is the target, and I know that he works for a company and he does SAP or whatever, right? If I send that title that says, "Look at this SAP, this is the new logo," or whatever,
right? Then we're going to look at it.
You're going to look at it, and that's the end of it. And next thing you know, it's spread, and that's a major issue.
Well, not only that, but some email products like Outlook can be set to view HTML emails, and they will automatically load that image, and then the exploit can be enabled just by reading the email. You don't have to open it, download it, or save anything like typical standard Trojans. Now, I particularly use just plain text email, but that's because I get annoyed by all these eBay ads that come through with enormous amounts of pictures. But for a lot of people, that creates a serious problem.
And this actually brings up a really cool point with Gmail. And it's really small, yep. But Gmail automatically disables display images.
Yeah, that's actually
pretty cool.
That's a really good feature. That's a really good feature. You have to actually select a button. You have to press display all images or something like that in order for Gmail to display the images.
Right.
Now, we don't – I love Gmail. I don't mean to sit here and like plug it all day long, but it is an amazing email system. And that is, in a time like this, a very nice feature to have.
A small feature to have. It's going to protect you from this nasty, nasty – nasty exploit.
Yeah, this is not a fun thing to have floating around in the wild right now.
You know, one interesting thing that I heard, and I don't remember who I heard this from, I don't know if it's from you or from Rob or from someone else, but apparently this patch, the code written, is identical to a patch that was previously written. Is that true?
Rob, do you know anything about that?
Yeah, the patch that was written by the gentleman, say his name again, I'm sorry?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ilfat Gilvanov, I believe.
Right. The patch that was written by him is surprisingly similar to the patch that was implemented on the 5th at 2 p.m.
I have no idea. Yeah. There's no way I'm going to be able to quote that date off the top of my head, but that sounds good.
We'll take your word for it, okay? Okay. From Microsoft.
Well, the only difference was that Ilfat Gilvanov was not able to compile it or into the DLL that runs these meta files.
Right,
Microsoft had the source code, so they did was change a little stuff, and boom,
right
there you go.
Right, because I remember Ilfat's original patch just simply removed the DLL file that contained the function calls that were targeted. Right,
did it not replace it, but did it substitute the code for the DLL?
No, actually, I think it just removed it. But the thing about this patch was that it also came with an uninstall that would, I believe, reinstall the DLL, which was a cool feature to have. So that way, when Microsoft put out its official patch, which it did earlier today, you could uninstall his patch and put the Microsoft one on. And not only that, but I was reading an interview with him in which he said that you can install the Microsoft patch and then uninstall his, and there would be no conflict there. So he did a great job of responding very quickly and putting out a very well-working patch. Now, they say that it's possible this problem is not necessarily fixed. It's not completely patched, but it's just a tiny little patch job put on top of it to kind of sugarcoat the root of the problem, which is more of a design flaw in the fact that Windows metafiles can execute commands.
Anytime you have vectors being, anytime you have vectors being created on, because vectors obviously look a lot better than, you know, your average JPEG. Whenever you have vectors involved, I mean, it's going to involve some sort of science behind it.
Right.
So yes, it's a bad thing, but the way that the technology is moving, it seems like, you know, we're looking towards that vector feel.
Well, it is. It's great, and it has a lot of real-world applications. Particularly, I don't know if this is the case, but you could probably tell me. Like in game development, don't they have to hand code or a lot of the graphics?
Yes, everything's hand coded. I mean, well, obviously hand coded, but the graphics are actually
vector based graphics or something similar, right?
Yeah, it's very similar. It's actually created through physics,
right?
So it's actually a very similar idea behind it. But it's yep. amazing though. I mean, it's amazing. I hope that with Longhorn or Vista, official name's Vista, they can put at least a small cap on the security issue.
Yeah, like we said earlier, is the fact that Microsoft has gone to such great lengths to say we're working on security, this and that, and bam, this exploit pops out, and we're like, no, sorry guys, you lost that one. But then again, this is an exploit. Everybody is affected by exploits. Everybody who's a software developer, anybody who writes operating systems. There's going to be exploits, and Microsoft may have had certain design flaws, but they are the most popular and probably the most highly targeted. And it's very rare that Trojans or exploits for like Mac OS X are non-existent. But
I think that's going to change, though.
I do too. I think it may have something to do with the fact that a very small audience,
5%, if that,
right. 5% of the market share. Yeah. I don't know what the market share is, but I know that the amount of people that are targeting its security holes is incrementally smaller than the people that are targeting Windows security holes. However, Microsoft is to blame for this. You know, it's not like you can take the heat off this issue. It's a problem, which it's a problem that'll hopefully, like you said, be fixed in Longhorn and future operating systems. Now, Rob, have you gotten a chance to test out Microsoft's patch?
You know, I really haven't had the chance yet, but I'm going to in this coming week. The thing about that is our initial reports, some of the computer recon guys that we have that are on the job, I believe today and yesterday, have initially said that the patch that came out yesterday, all it did was change the function name.
Huh. So that really doesn't do anything to solve the problem, right?
Right, but it solves the
initial issue, because I mean everyone has that code now,
yeah,
and they can't use that anymore. Right. But so, once a rewrite's done and it starts to get spread, and I'm sure it's more than just one function name,
right?
But for the most part, that's like you're saying, that's a Band-Aid,
right?
And you know the problem needs to be cured. So
see, I can't confirm that, but that's what my initial emails back and forth about them are.
Okay,
so I'll do more next week to figure out exactly what this is.
The thing that really, and this is probably the worst part, the thing that bugged me about this is originally on Zero Day and even the days following, it's the fact that Microsoft took this so lightly. They even had mentioned that it wasn't a big deal and to wait until their patch came out, which makes sense, because it makes sense that Microsoft would not want somebody running an unofficial patch or an unofficial fix that could be potentially dangerous if they haven't gotten a chance to really examine it for themselves. However, they have enough employees that I would think they could take the time to scrutinize this. But what do you think, John?
The thing is, and still, Microsoft is wrong. Don't get me wrong here. They're wrong. When you have, because from my understanding, this WMF exploit was someone very similar to it existed roughly, what, 9, 10 months ago from one of my readings, because I read a patch for it that was posted on forums, you know, about 9 or 10 months ago. So if Microsoft, it's a possibility that Microsoft was like, oh, okay, this is just another one of those WMF. It's not that serious. It might have been a rebound to be like, to say, okay, we're Microsoft, guys. If we say it's safe, it's okay. That might have been another method that they may have taken when, in all honesty, they're like, holy crap, we have to take care of this. And, you know, it's – I'm so saddened with Microsoft right now. I'm so disappointed. disappointed.
No, I understand.
Completely just – you know, because
Microsoft makes me sad, guys. Yeah, I'm so upset.
It does. It's just like, and you know, we can't, a lot of times we can't blame them because they have such an overpowering market share and everyone is after them.
Well, that's why, however, that's why they make people sad.
That's why they make people sad.
When they do things
when
bad.
When they do bad, it's bad. But, you know, it's like, it's almost like I want the Linux and the Mac world to start taking that back. Well, and Windows can, and Microsoft can be like, okay, guys, we have lost a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's sort of start all over. And they tried to do this with them splitting into three companies, but they need to take it a few steps further. And
Microsoft, while everybody bashes them, they do one thing very, very good, and they do it better than anybody else, and that's the Office suite. And I really think that that is what's keeping them going, because, I mean, I'm a Linux user, and I will openly admit that I do not like Windows at all. And it would mean a great deal to me if I never had to use it again. Unfortunately, that's not the case, because I have to use it for work and other things. But nobody can touch Microsoft Office or any of the Office products. Now, if that were to change, then Microsoft would really have a problem from a business perspective, because that is what they do better than anybody else. Their operating system, I mean, they have been losing market share for quite some time now, very, very slowly, not like a rapid loss of market share, but I believe they've been losing market share. And now with Firefox is coming out, and Firefox is it 10% now?
I think it's 10%. Isn't it 10%, Rob?
Yeah, I believe it's somewhere right around there.
I mean, it's huge compared, it's considering the fact that like everything else was like less than 1% like a couple of years ago. And now Firefox is on the market, taking away all of Microsoft's thunder and basically bitch-smacking Internet Explorer all around. I mean, because, for example, even with this exploit, Internet Explorer will automatically, as soon as it runs, views the image, it'll run these...
There's a lot of issues with IE.
There's a lot of issues. But
the main issue is a file browser, I think, for me.
But, I mean, this in particular, if I believe, and once again, Rob, you're going to have to back me up on this, is it the case that in Firefox, if a user an internet user with Firefox were to go to a website that had a malicious WMF file, wouldn't they get a button that said, you know, click OK if you want to run this image or run this program?
Actually, no.
No?
The WMF exploit was, it didn't matter. As long as it was on a Windows box, it was open.
Okay. Because I know earlier today I was surfing around looking at malicious WMF files that had been created, and I did open one of them, which was a test that would run calc.exe on your computer. And in Firefox, it asked me to accept a file or to download something, and Internet Explorer did not. It crashed the browser and ran the program. So I didn't know. I imagine that
it could have been some ActiveX too.
It could have been that, or it could have been the fact that the author of that particular example didn't go to great lengths to, you know, make it work with Firefox as well. But I'd like to sum this up, guys. Thank you for having this discussion.
Suggestion: get the patch.
Oh yes, definitely get the patch. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, John. I'm Harrison. Thank you for joining Splitcast. We'll see you next time.
Bye.